This episode of the Profit Express is brought to you by Corbett Public Relations, promoting and protecting businesses and brands for over 30 years. Please visit them at CorbettPR.com. That's CorbettPR.com. Hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I am Tim Healy. I'm inviting you to join me each and every week so together we can win the battle for business. And now that we are a couple of weeks into the new year, I thought the timing for today's show was perfect. It's a message and a topic that I definitely want to share with you. See, as everybody knows, the past year, obviously with the pandemic, with politics and the economy, have been trying for all of us in so many different ways. Now, the angle I really want to take on this today and how it can impact you and your success in business is this. Whether it is the pandemic or politics or the economy, we are in a constant 24/7 news cycle with social media. We can't escape the messaging. And unfortunately, a lot of that messaging is pretty negative, no matter which team that you're on. Now, there's two things I really like to operate my business and my life by. The first one is thoughts are things. Everything in this planet originated as a thought, an invention, a product, a service, a book, a movie, a poem. And we have to be very careful with protecting our thoughts and allowing those great thoughts to germinate and to see fruition. But we can't if we're bombarded by negativity. So again, thoughts are things. And another thing that I really want to explore today would be self-talk, or what is your inner dialogue? What are you saying to yourself each and every day? And self-talk can really either be positive and empowering, leading you on the path to success, or it can be negative and limiting. So since we are just a couple of weeks into 2021 and we're still knee-deep into the pandemic, although there is light at the end of the tunnel, I thought who better to have on today's show than not just somebody who's a comedian, but somebody who is a motivational and keynote speaker, and probably one of his credentials I'm most impressed with today is he's an attitude adjuster, and he is none other than Steve Rizzo. And it's a pleasure to have him on board the Profit Express. Steve, how are you today?
I'm wonderful, Tim. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm really good. And listen, I don't want to inflate your ego too much, but you're probably one of the perfect people to have on for today's show because, as I said, we're all faced with this tsunami of 24/7 and everything is breaking news, and whether it's the pandemic, whether it's politics, whether it's the economy. And that can have a big, as you know, a very big negative impact on our thoughts, our beliefs, our attitude, and our performance. So I know the work that you do, it's pretty amazing. You've got a great message, and that's why I'm having you on board today, to kind of give people a kind of like a reprieve from all this and a great way to kind of reset their minds. So, as you can tell, I'm very pumped about the topic, and I'm certainly excited to have you on today. Now, let's get into this. I build you as an attitude adjuster. I mean, that's just, not just me, it's you. Define first, what is an attitude adjuster?
It was given to me by a corporate client many years ago.
Right.
And I received a glowing testimonial from the CEO of the company. And one of the lines that he stated was, Steve Rizzo is not a motivational speaker. He's an attitude adjuster. And I like that. And that's what I do. You know, so I held on to that and I coined the phrase, and I show people how to start each day with an unstoppable attitude to succeed regardless of their circumstances. And that's the key phrase, regardless of your circumstances, because everyone knows that it's easy to start your day with an unstoppable attitude. It's easy to stay motivated throughout the day if your life is going the way that you want. But what do you do when you're confronted with major challenges? What do you do when everything that you've tried just isn't working and this seems that your world is falling apart? Not only around you, but within you. You just don't feel like you're ever going to escape what's happening, which is really what's happening to a great many people, as you well know, with this pandemic that's had us all in its clutches for a year now.
It's funny. There's two things you just said right off the bat. You said, how are you starting your day? Which I want to talk about because that's key. And then the circumstances. And a lot of us have been dealt circumstances we were not predicting, you know, this time last year, because we're almost at that 1 year point. So let's talk about how you start your day. Why? Because I know a lot of us start our days with this at the nightstand, already wired up. So how important is that simple exercise of starting the day?
Well, it's crucial. I think you'll agree that most people, especially today, are starting their days in low moods at best. And the scary thing is that they're not even aware of what they're doing to themselves. As they open up their eyes, the first thing they focus on is the grueling day they had the day before. All the fires that won't put out, the irate people that they had to deal with.
Right.
I know people that dread the fact that they have to put on a mask now just to leave the front door, and have to, you know, they have to confide to all this stuff that's happening. And I know people, Tim, and you probably do too, they didn't even take the covers off. They're still groggy. They're still half asleep. And they're thinking of all this grueling stuff that happened the day before and all the fires that won't put out. And then they reach over to their nightstand and they grab their iPhone or some other apparatus and they start looking at all of the messages that they believe need to be answered before they even leave the house. That's insane. That is insane. And then they can't understand why, after they're compounding all this stuff that didn't work the day before, looking at all these messages that they believe need to be answered, and now they're thinking of the grueling day that lies ahead, and they can't understand why, when they're walking into work, their energy level is rock bottom. When your energy level has to be cranked. I mean, to your listeners right now and your viewers now, think of your responsibility on any given day.
Right.
Your energy level has to be cranked, and that's your choice and that's your responsibility. So what I show people to do, I ask them to get their shift together. In other words, when you open up your eyes to greet the day, first of all, you have to understand that you enter into consciousness. As soon as you open up your eyes to greet the day, you enter into consciousness. And it is at that moment that your creativity is at its most powerful. You have an opportunity at that point to steer your thoughts and your emotions in the direction that you want them to go, not in the direction that they are so often telling you to go. In other words, you could really choose to seize the day, or you could let the day seize you. So when I say I'm asking you to get your shift together, I'm asking people, when you open up your eyes and you're still a little groggy, before you take those covers off, I want you to, rather than focusing on what isn't working in your life and all the things that need to be done, I want you to allow yourself in those few moments before you crank into your day to shift your focus and your way of thinking to the things that are working in your life, to the things that will lift your spirits, to the things that will bring you joy, that will ignite your spirit just to feel gradually a little bit better. What I'm saying here, and I know a lot of your listeners and viewers heard this, I'm asking you to create in about 30 seconds to a minute, and that's all it takes, is an attitude of gratitude. And I cannot explain to you, and I know you've heard it before, how profound that is and what it can make in your life. Because what you're doing is that you're sending a message to your subconscious, which runs 97% of your life.
Right, right.
And your subconscious is very objective. It doesn't know the difference between true or false. So if you're starting your day with stuff that isn't working and all the things that need to be done, your subconscious is now saying to you, it's like the genie of your soul, your life sucks right now. It isn't working. It's too chaotic. if you're giving yourself those few moments to implement feelings of gratitude, the things you're grateful for, your subconscious is reminding you that favorable things are going to be happening to you that day. As I said, it doesn't know the difference between true or false. It only knows the information you program into you. So now, for those few moments when you wake up, focus on the things you're grateful for. Maybe it's the person lying next to you. Maybe it's the dog lying by the side of the bed. Maybe it's a particular goal you achieved. Maybe you're going on vacation in a couple of weeks. Maybe you're having friends over for a sporting event on a Saturday or a Sunday. You're going out to dinner with your best friend. It doesn't matter. Everyone can think of something that they appreciate and they are grateful for. And what I'm asking you to do for at least 3 weeks, 2 minutes every morning, is to start your day with that, and you will be creating a different habit. Notice how much better you feel.
You know, it's funny, Steve, as you describe this, I've been guilty, like I'm sure most people have, of reaching for the phone and looking at the text of the email, which is ridiculous, thinking it's some sort of an emergency or it's so important that you have to respond to it. But as you said, if you give yourself the permission and it's your choice, and that was also very important, we can't forget it's our choice. We're in control of that time. So as you described this, I'm feeling better about it because it's like just a moment of gratitude for your health, for your family, for your friends, for your business. I can begin to feel how in that 30 or 60 seconds, the trajectory of your day can shift dramatically.
Absolutely. But it's not easy. It's not easy for a lot of people, but
like, oh yeah.
Somebody said in one of my workshops, well, it's easier said than done. When I looked at the person, I said, everything in life is easy.
Right.
That doesn't mean you can't do it.
And right.
It doesn't mean you don't owe it to yourself to try it. Gratitude is a discipline. But when you hold on to that, when you hold on to that discipline and you can just tell yourself, you know what? I am not getting out of bed. I will not take the covers off. I will not plant my feet on this floor until I find something that's gradually going to make me feel better. And I don't care who you are, you can always find something that you're grateful for. Even if it's snagging a great parking place at the mall, whatever it was that you did the day before, find something. It's there and build from there. The more you do it, the more it becomes a part of who you are.
I like it. And again, you know what happens sometimes in life, you know, when you get in front of an audience, when you're talking to clients, what have you, you're at a seminar, it's unfortunate. I think it might just be human nature that people will listen to your message and they'll say, yeah, he's right. But then because what you're saying, it doesn't seem like it's a magic bullet. It doesn't seem like it's something so complicated. We underestimate its value because it's technically an easy thing to do. And we kind of just glance over it. But it's in these kind of fundamental shifts that I think we can get the biggest change.
Well, see, now I'm so glad you said that because that's the crux of what I do. I offer people what I call common sense success strategies.
Right.
And that will not only take them to a better place in their business, but in life. And in my view, that's the ultimate success. And these strategies, the reason why I call them common sense is because we're born with these strategies. It's innate in us. It's just that we get so caught up in the stuff of life that we're not aware that we can, or we're so emotionally distraught that that part of us will not allow us to get to that point, to recognize. Right. And there's many common sense success strategies. But the more you implement these strategies that I offer people, the easier your life becomes. It doesn't make your problem go away, these strategies, not at all. It helps you to work your way through them and to learn from them. To learn from these things that are bringing us down. And that's the key.
Learning from, right. Again, easier said than done.
Yep.
Now, there's one quote of yours. I don't know exactly where I'd found it. I thought it was very profound. I've actually never heard it put this way before. You are the only problem you will ever have.
Yep.
And when I read that, I'm like, wow. But I can also, unfortunately, well, I guess let me pose a question to you. So we go off that quote, you're the only problem you'll ever have. So say you have somebody in the audience and they're saying, well, you don't know my life, Steve. And listen, a lot of people have tremendous challenges in life, tremendous circumstances. How do you respond to that? Because somebody could really be going through a very, very tough time. And maybe, you know, they can't wrap their arms around the truth that's in that statement. How do you respond to that?
You know what? Yeah. Before I answer that, let me backtrack a little bit and let me give you just the three principles. And what you had just stated is in that this thing I'm going to be explaining to you. The three principles that where these common sense success strategies come from. The first principle is, and this is what I tell everyone, and I'm explaining it to everyone right now. You are the creator of your success and happiness. That's principle number one. You are the creator of your success and happiness. Now, what that means is that It's not what happens to you that determines how successful and how happy you're going to be. It's what you do about what happens. It's the choices you make that make the difference. The second principle is you need to understand that you are the only problem that you will ever have. And somewhere within you, there is always, always a solution waiting to be discovered. You just have to learn how to get out of your way to find that solution. And the third principle is whenever you're confronted with a challenge or a problem of any magnitude at all, it's never a matter of managing the situation. It's always a matter of how you manage your mind. Can you manage your mind and the thoughts and the emotions that are desperately trying to keep you from finding the solution that's waiting to be discovered? So when I am confronted with someone in the audience, and I do get these looks sometimes, and when I give my workshops, people yell stuff out. What do you mean I'm the only problem I ever have? Look, you don't know me. You don't know what I'm going through.
Right.
And I look at them and say, well, it doesn't matter what you're going through. Well, I'm in the middle of a divorce, and my wife took everything that I own. And I said, okay, I'm sorry that happened to you, but it's your problem. It is your problem. This is your problem. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to use all of your energy on wallowing in that problem? Or are you going to learn how to shift your focus and your way of thinking to use that energy, transmute it to find solutions to your problems? And if you don't do the latter, that will always be your problem. It's not my problem. It's not your wife's problem anymore, because she just took you for everything that you had. It's not a matter of right or wrong. It's not a matter of fair or unfair or good or bad. You have to own up to the fact that it is now your problem. You know, you can get up early in the morning. You could just win $350 million in a lottery, and you go to claim your ticket and you get hit by a car and you're paralyzed from the neck down for the rest of your life. I'm not trying to be ridiculous here, but that's life. And yeah, you could say, yeah, it wasn't my fault. The guy was on his cell phone and he hit me, but it's now your problem. What are you going to do with it? And I learned this. I learned this from, I had the pleasure of meeting Christopher and Dana Reeve 5 months before Chris passed away. This was in 2004. We were both, I have time to tell this a little bit of a story, right?
Yeah, no, you got time, go.
Chris and I were both keynote speakers at the San Diego Convention Center. As I said, this was five months before he passed away. And for those of you who don't know who Christopher Reeve was, he was the first actor to play the role of Superman in the movies. And he became paralyzed from the neck down as a result of a horseback riding competition. And I was the opening keynote at the San Diego Convention Center. And when I got off the stage, his wife, Dana, approached me. And she gave me a big hug. I never met her before. And she said, oh, Chris would absolutely just love to meet you. Do you mind? And I said, I'm fine. Apparently, Chris and Dana and eight other people heard my entire presentation when they were in the green room. And Dana said he just wanted to talk to you. So when I walked into the green room to look at Chris, it was like such a reality check. Because when you hear about someone in that condition, that's one thing. But when you see it, it's a totally, totally different vibe. The only parts of his body that this man could use was his lips, his eyes, and his eyebrows. He couldn't move any other part of his body. And he looked at me with a smile on his face and he said, Steve, I have to tell you, thank you so much. I live by that philosophy for everything that you said on that platform. And it was the best compliment I ever received since I've been doing this. And I had time to spend time with him after it. And I said, what was one of the main things that helped you to overcome this? And he said, well, when I first realized that this was not my problem and no one else's, it became my wife's problem because she had to figure out how to deal with this. That part was her problem. Everyone had their own problem on how to deal with his problem, but he owned that this was his problem. What am I going to do now? And it's pretty cool because we were talking about gratitude. And for those of you who are saying, you don't know me and I can't find something to be grateful for, And talking to Chris and to Dana, when he found out the severity of his condition, the third day when he found out this is the way he was going to be, he asked Dana to end his life, pull the cord. I don't want to live. I have nothing to live for. And she said, "You're still you. We can do this." And he couldn't, you couldn't find anything to give him that oomph, that one thing that can that he was grateful for, even though he knew that she was there for him. And it wasn't until the fourth day there when he finally saw her together with his children and the way they looked at him and their emotional state that they were in, he realized how much they needed him. And that was the first thing that he held on to that he was grateful for. And he held on to it and he built from there. And as a result, this man accomplished more in the last 9 years of his life in that condition, more than any most people I know could accomplish in a lifetime. And he did
Right.
it in that condition. As I said, he passed away 5 months later, but that's not what's important. What's important is what he did with his life from that time on in that condition. That's what's important. And it was that one thing that he held on for that, and he built from there. Then he found something else to be grateful for. The second thing he held on to was the fact that he had a sense of humor. And he that helped him tremendously to bounce back when he would enter into that negative zone. So, but the thing is, he owned it. It was his problem.
Well, first of all, thanks for sharing that. That's a phenomenal story, and what an amazing compliment he paid you. You know that you'll certainly never forget that. But it's you talk about owning the problem. It's your problem now, no matter what it was. You may call it unfair, horrible, and it is. I mean, it's hard to imagine results worse than what Christopher Reeve went through, short of dying. But yet he, as you just said, what was he able to achieve in 9 years in that condition? And I'm just, as you're saying this, and it's such a great message now because as I started the show, and again, today's guest is Steve Rizzo, comedian, keynote motivational speaker, and perhaps more importantly, an attitude adjuster. And he's here to talk to me today and talk to you today about the importance of your attitude. And we're just talking about problems, owning the problem, because there's so much finger pointing today. That everybody thinks there's so many reasons why I'm not doing what I'm doing, why I'm not successful. The pandemic, the politics, the economy, so on and so forth. And what I'm getting from this, and the reason I'm going into the detail, I want to repeat it because I want to make sure everybody gets this, is if you're not owning the problem, then you can't be open to the solution.
Yeah,
If,
you nailed it. You nailed it.
yeah,
Yeah, you can't. You can't.
right.
You can't. You have to find out that you're the problem. And it's
Right.
the thoughts that you have about the challenge that's really giving you that pessimistic outlook.
And just
You know,
wallowing in the excuses. Ugh.
absolutely. You could be, anyone could think of, you know, I can complain about anything. Well, the economy went down and then this happened because of that. And then the pandemic hit. Hey, when this pandemic hit, I lost every booking and so did everyone in my business that year. Everything was canceled
Yeah.
immediately. And then what, you know, a lot of people panicked. A lot of people didn't know what to do. But eventually, thank God, because of what I do for a living and I have the strategies and I know the tools, which put a lot of pressure on me because I have to walk the talk. But I realized, you know what, I'm going to have to start doing things virtually. And I am
Right.
not tech savvy at all. I
Right.
got a little nervous, but I just talked to the right people. I made sure I got everything right. And now I'm giving virtual presentations. I'm speaking to major corporate clients and I'm doing it this way. And I'm getting my message out. So, you know, the more you focus on your lack, the more of that you're going to get back. You've got to take responsibility. It's this is what's happening to you. What are you going to do about it?
Now, you had a story that a lot of us have heard and quite possibly experienced. My wife was actually one of them, believe it or not. So what is that story, you ask? Well, I know that you had an encounter with an eighth grade guidance counselor who told you, so eighth grade, you're like what, 13 or so?
14, yeah, just barely.
13, right, okay. So at that age, that formative age, that guidance counselor told you, "Well, Steve, you're just not cut out for college." You could look at it now and joke about it or talk about it, but what was the impact it had on Steve Rizzo at 14?
It was embarrassing because I was there with my mom and dad, and we were going over my curriculum for the rest of my high school years to prepare me for life when I got out of high school. And I said, I want to be a teacher. And he went, well, I don't think that's going to happen. And, you know, my mom and dad looked at him and I looked and they said, well, let's just say you really don't have what it takes. So what he was saying to me was, is that I'm not smart enough.
Right.
But it wasn't really, it didn't have that much of an effect at that moment. I didn't think it did, but it did. Okay.
Okay.
And it was that type of negative labeling that molded the direction for a great part of my life when I got out of high school. And it was in my senior class in high school where I was voted least likely to succeed. So I took that into my adult life.
So it followed you. That thought, that mindset followed you.
Well, you see, and that's the thing, Tim. That's where people who won't hone up to their that life, that the situation is their problem, it's the way they were raised. That's the way they were raised. You know, and these labels are bestowed upon us sometimes. And you create these beliefs that you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not worthy enough. And that's when the blame game starts. And that's when you start blaming everybody else for your problems and you're not having what you want. And it's a shame. But unless you become aware of what is owning you, unless you become aware of what's controlling your life and why you keep getting into the same situation over and over again, and why everyone else has what you want in life and you have the talent, maybe even more than the other people, why isn't life bestowing you with the graces? And well, life has probably been trying, but you've been foiling it because of your attitude, because of your thought process, because you don't believe you're good enough, smart enough, or worthy enough. And you're sabotaging your own success and happiness.
And you discussed something in one of your videos that I had seen where you had headlined and you'd had some really big names open for you. You were on Showtime, I believe. Uh-huh. Quite a career in comedy. And you had, if I'm getting this right, I'm kind of paraphrasing, how you kind of were reflective on the fact of confidence impacting the trajectory of that career. Did I get that right?
Yeah, when I was a stand-up?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Well, my negative labels came with me, and I didn't think that was ever going to happen.
Now, but even at the point of Showtime, yeah, I mean, there was this one clip. It was an amazing clip I saw. It was Woody Harrelson introducing you for a particular show. Yeah. So you're at those heights. I mean,
yeah. I was sitting in the green room, and he came up to me. He said, "Steve, you know the show's tomorrow. We're doing a run through of the show." And he said,
"Right.
What do you want for an intro?" And I just sat down. I said, "Tell him you're going to bring up somebody who was voted least likely to succeed in his senior class in high school. Now he's here at the Sands Hotel in Las Vegas, and he's shooting his own Showtime special." So he goes, "That's pretty cool," and that's what he did. But those labels always stay with you, and they come out with a vengeance at various points in your life. The key is that you have to be aware of when it's happening. And when they did start rising again, I sabotaged great things that were happening to me in my comedy career, not even aware that I was doing it. For example, I was my management team. I had a great management team and an agency, and I had PR people. And every time there was an audition for a TV show or a movie or a big commercial at the Improv or the Comedy Store in Los Angeles, I made an excuse that I couldn't make it because I was on the road performing in Omaha, Nebraska, and I can't tell the club that I can't be there just to do this audition. Any other comedian would have died and told the club, "I'm sorry, you're gonna have to get someone else, but this is an audition for a movie. This is an audition for a sitcom. I'm going for it." But I made an excuse. And my belief system was I'd rather be a big fish in a small pond than a little fish in an ocean. And I was petrified of going in front of all the industry people to have them evaluate me only to say, "You're not good enough." And I didn't realize that. When I came to the reality, that's what I was doing, bam, it hit me again. And then I had to go on a quest to better myself. And that's when I became a motivational speaker. For years, I read self-help books, went to spiritual seminars, went to Tony Robbins seminars. I did it everything. I fell asleep with headphones, listening to positive affirmations. And through the years, my belief system started changing. I became incredibly empowered. I mean, even people that haven't seen me in years are going, what the hell happened to you? You know, it's like I turned into this super person. And that's when the entertainment industry was really trying to lure me in and having me do this and do that. But I was no longer interested in them. And I was contemplating becoming a motivational speaker. And to make a long story short, that's the road I took. And all those strategies that I used to turn my life around are the common sense success strategies that I offer to people today.
So you finally, it's as though, and people say the fear of success is greater than the fear of failure.
I had both. I had fear of success and failure.
So the big opportunities were knocking. You know, you were on these stages, you know, if a Woody Harrelson is introducing you, and I saw some of the, you know, the Ray Romanos of the world that you were with, et cetera, they want you to be a part of potentially, you know, auditioning for a movie, for a special, whatever it is. And then you saw, I guess, after however many times the light finally goes on, you saw the pattern, and then you take that step back.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. And now every now and then, by the way, folks, if you have these toxic labels, and most of all of us do have some, some of them, it dominates their life. Just know that you could never, ever get rid of them. They're always going to be there, but you can push them in the recesses in the back of your mind, and you got to make sure that they don't surface again. And the thing that makes them surface is when the negative self-talk that you were mentioning earlier today. I call it self-curse talk, because you're casting a spell on your life. You know, like you're setting out to achieve a goal. You invested a lot of money to get from here to there. You talk to the right people. Everything's set up. Everything's going fine. And all of a sudden, 2 months into it, you start hitting these walls and these challenges. And then you start going, oh, no, here we go again. I knew this was going to happen. Every time I try to do something, it never works. I always go 2 steps up and 5 steps back. Why is it that everybody else has what I want? I never should have invested my money in this. That is self-curse talk, self-curse talk. And you are destroying something that could, if you stuck with it, more than likely, excuse me, you would be able to get to where you want to go, but now you're talking yourself out of it.
The self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
And this episode of The Profit Express is brought to you by Corbett Public Relations, promoting and protecting businesses and brands for over 30 years. And they do great work there. So please visit them at CorbettPR.com. That's CorbettPR.com. So today, as we are only a few weeks into the new year, I felt very strongly about having a show on the power of your own thoughts, on the power of your attitude, and the power of your self-talk. Because, as I said earlier, and as today's guest Steve Rizzo has, he and I have been talking about it, that self-talk can become a self-fulfilling prophecy of failure if you allow it to be. And it's never going to go away. It's always there, but it's how you address it, how you control it, how you manage it. So again, Steve, thanks for being on board today. The topic for today, the timing, because normal life has the challenges. The past 12 months have not been normal, unfortunately, and they'll continue to be unnormal, whatever the heck that means, I'm not sure, for however long. But I just know that in your message, you have the, as you say yourself, the common sense strategies that everybody listening, everybody watching can embrace. Something as simple as starting the day with an attitude of gratitude before you before your feet hit the floor in the morning can have a tremendous impact. Now, one thing you said, I'd love to get your take, because I've always been an admirer of comedians and how the brain of a comedian thinks. Okay, I certainly, for the record, I'm obviously not a comedian, but I did take improv classes not to be the comedian, but I respected how it could help you become a better communicator.
Right.
So that was always important for me. So one thing you said, you're an observer of people. What are you observing, or what have you been observing in the last 6 months that might have caught your attention?
I've observed that the fear of this pandemic is going to destroy more lives than the virus itself. That's what I've observed. I'm not saying it isn't serious. I had a close friend that passed away a month and a half ago.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I know a lot of people that, you know, were testing positive. But the fear about it, the fact that we are, we're forgetting what it's like to live. We're forgetting that there are other aspects of our lives that we could focus on, and to get so wrapped up in this pandemic and how it's affecting us all can in the very long term destroy us. And my goal is to get people to drill for the optimism that's within them somewhere and focus on what's working rather than fixating on what isn't working, and knowing that this will be over at some point. And I mean, let's face it, if you look at the statistics, divorce rate has gone up tremendously now. The suicide rate has gone up tremendously because of this.
Substance abuse.
Yeah. The number one group that's making a fortune on this are liquor stores, wine stores. They're making a fortune. They really are. Their business is quadrupling. God bless them. Good for them. But which is cool, because I'm a wine guy. I collect wine. But I'm observing. I just observe the people. This woman chastised a woman in back of her when she was online at the supermarket, you know, on the conveyor belt. The woman was putting her stuff down, and she accidentally just touched the woman's bottle of Coke that she had.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman almost flipped out. You touched my soda. You touched my Coke. And the woman went, what? Excuse me? What are you saying?
Right.
You touched it. She goes, I was just moving it.
Right.
And, you know, the comedian in me, I'm sitting there going, I said, ma'am, are you kidding me? I said, do you actually believe that no one else was touching that bottle before she did? And I said, do you actually think that you're going to get the virus because she touched your bottle?
Right, right.
It's absolutely amazing.
It's become, you know, talk about the observing of it, especially I think when it first hit. I mean, I know we were wiping down our groceries, when it first happened. And that's fair. We didn't know what we were up against, but the fear becomes so consuming.
Yep.
So consuming, it's hard to get out of it. So you're talking to somebody. So this, you know, in your audiences, whether it's in audiences when you're a comedian, in your corporate audiences, you know that there's always somebody in an audience. I know it and you know it, who desperately needs to hear your message, right? It's like, I almost believe that the universe put them in that seat to hear your message today. So somebody's listening or watching to the show today, and they could be really wrapped up because of everything that's going on. And I appreciate and I understand it. How easy, I want you to give them the confidence to realize it's easy to change your mindset because it's something they're in control of. How easy is it? And what's... If is there a 1, 2, 3? What would you do? They're saying, hey, Steve, help me. I'm desperate.
It's simple. It's not easy. And I'll just conject what I learned from truly successful, happy, optimistic people.
Mm-hmm.
Truly successful, happy, optimistic people know without a doubt that they become what they think about day in and day out.
Right.
They know that the thoughts that they have about any challenge will ultimately determine the quality of success and happiness they're going to have in regards to that specific challenge. Contrary to what most people may think, it's not the situation, it's not the event, it's not the circumstance, it's not the pandemic or the virus within itself that is going to determine your quality of success and happiness. It's how you think about it. Why? Because your thoughts have the incredible power to either minimize or maximize the effect that that challenge has on you. And it's not your thoughts within themselves that gives them great power. It's what your thoughts create. Your thoughts create the beliefs you have about that challenge.
Right.
In fact, the beliefs you have about anything in your life are formulated over a period of time through a consistent way of thinking. Your thoughts create your beliefs. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The thoughts you have about, the beliefs you have about the economy, about the environment, about your neighborhood, about your family, the beliefs you have about the people you work with, the people you work for, the beliefs you have about the president of the United States, the beliefs you formulated about me in the short time that you've been listening to me, the beliefs you have about anything in your life are formulated over a period of time through a consistent way of thinking. Again, your thoughts create your beliefs, and your beliefs write the story of your life. Now, those thoughts and beliefs that you have will create the way that you feel on any given day. Your thoughts and beliefs create your feelings. Now, this is not only a key to your success and happiness, but how you feel on any given day is at the core of your success and happiness. Because if you want to start your day with an unstoppable attitude to succeed, regardless of your circumstances, you have to make sure that you are feeling good during the process, because feeling good is the fuel that drives motivation and inspiration. Feeling good is the fuel that drives motivation and inspiration. You folks should write that down and slap it on your refrigerator. Think about it. It is absolutely impossible to stay motivated throughout the day, any day, if you are harboring negative emotions or if you have a bad attitude during the process. The number one reason why people consistently fail in business and in life, the reason why any one of you may be having a difficult time achieving a particular goal or getting something done throughout the day, it's not because you're not smart enough, and it's not because of the challenge within itself. It's because somewhere along the way, positive momentum ceases. And the reason why positive momentum ceases is because the individual is focusing all of their energy on what isn't working, wallowing so much in the problem that they're not leaving any room at all in that brain of theirs for positive thoughts to seep through so that they can come up with healthier alternatives and deal with the next challenge that will inevitably follow, probably moments later. Feeling good is the fuel that drives motivation and inspiration.
That's like a mic drop right there, Steve.
And it all starts with your thoughts, Ken. Yeah, right. It all starts with your thoughts.
And we spoke about it early, but it bears repeating that everybody, and you know, you're careful when you make those statements, everybody, but I think it truly is a truth. Everybody has something to be grateful for.
Yep. And if you say that you can't, if you heard the Christopher Reeve story, I mean, that's enough to make you feel a little embarrassed if you say you can't find something to be grateful for.
Right. Yeah, if like he like when you shared that story a little while ago, and you know him asking his wife to pull the plug because of his predicament, and then him just, you know, a few days later, I think you said, seeing his wife and his children, how they still need him.
Yeah.
I mean, if anybody could have, you could have understood his thought process. Okay, well, you know, listen, I mean, God, that was a tragedy. So it just goes to show you there's really no exceptions to it.
Yeah, you know, sometimes in life, man, sometimes it's all you need is a couple of seconds to catch your second wind. And that attitude of that one thing to be grateful for could be that couple of seconds. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's the one thing. You know, like, whoa, I almost asked my wife to end my life. And I realized that my kids, they need me. You know, I'm still worth something here. And he built from there. And what, like I said, what he accomplished in those last 9 years of his life falls nothing short of miraculous. What he accomplished, he did more in those 9 years than most people I know could do in a lifetime, but he did it in that condition. It's amazing. You can Google it. Just look it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
Today's guest on the Profit Express, Steve Rizzo, comedian, motivational speaker, keynote speaker, and attitude adjuster. And, you know, I just want to kind of have today's show as an opportunity for everybody to kind of reset as we are embarking a few weeks into 2021 on a brand new year, which to me is always one of my favorite times of the year because it's a blank slate for everybody. It doesn't matter how great last year was, we start at zero. It doesn't matter how bad last year was, we're starting at zero. And again, you have a whole new year of opportunity. And today's guest and his message, Steve Rizzo's message, is all about getting the mind right, because if the mind ain't right, nothing else is going to follow. You shared the story of your brother Michael, I believe, right?
Yeah.
His name is Michael. And how he's a real miracle. Can you share that one with us?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for coming on board today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, though. Yeah, he is absolutely the biggest inspiration of my life by far. No one has taught me more on how to embrace change more than he has. No one has taught me more about leadership quality more than he has. He's 100% disabled as a result of the Vietnam War. As far as the experts know, he's the only man in medical history that ever survived that kind of wound. He's in medical journals as someone who beat the odds. 21 feet of his small intestine were either blown out on the battlefield or taken out on the operating table. And parts of his internal organs were damaged as well, his kidneys and such. And the only reason why I'm being graphic here is that I want you folks to understand what he went through and then appreciate how he beat this. I'll never forget the first time that I saw him in St. Albans Naval Hospital in Queens, New York. If it hadn't been for my mom and dad in the room with him, I never would have known it was him. He went from 168 pounds to 94 pounds. And in the room with my mom and dad were his two friends from high school and his Marine Corps buddy, whom he had gotten wounded with. And the whole day, my brother was going in and out of consciousness. And it was at the end of the day when the doctors came in and told my mom and dad the bad news and said, I'm sorry, but it doesn't look like he's going to make it. He may not even make it through the day. I'll never forget the look on my mom and dad's face. And his two friends from high school walked out of the room. His Marine Corps buddy was facing the wall and just saying why to no one in particular. And as all this was going on, I remember standing right next to my brother. And I was only 17 years old at the time, and I'm noticing all these thoughts are going through my head. And he's supposed to be unconscious. And I'm noticing that his hand is slowly starting to rise from his side. And he clenched his fist, and up came his middle finger. And I was like, whoa, where is this coming from? And my mom and dad noticed it, and I realized he still had a sense of humor. And that was his answers. That was his answer to the doctor's diagnosis. And that was the, and I knew he was going to give it a go. He wasn't going to give up. Apparently he heard what they said. That was the answer he gave them. And that was the answer he gave them every single time they told him he couldn't or wouldn't be able to do something. First, they said he wouldn't live long. Well, they're wrong because he's alive today. Then they said that he would have to eat certain foods like baby food and liquids and ground up food, because with only 1 foot of small intestine, they didn't think his body would be able to sustain any kind of food with any substance at all. But my brother's attitude was, he had a typical New York attitude. His attitude was, hey, doc, don't you ever tell me what I'm going to eat, all right? I'm going to eat a bowl of pasta, a couple of meatballs and sausage, even if I have to sit on a toilet while I'm eating it, all right? And he lived long enough where his small intestine, they noticed, started stretching, and he started compensating and using the rest of his digestive system for what his small intestine could no longer do. And he gradually started getting better. So doctors to this day, when he goes back for checkups, he's got to go for checkups, they call him the miracle man. Here comes the miracle man. And and I think that's an appropriate word. I know that word miracle sounds like a very powerful word, but sometimes in life, you know, what is a miracle? Nothing but a shift in perception. You know, it's looking at something where at one point you're saying to yourself, oh my God, this is going to be absolutely impossible. And, but with a shift in the way that you're thinking, that impossibility suddenly becomes very possible. My brother never said, why me? That whole time he was in the hospital. And isn't that what we have a tendency to do when life is throwing something at us, like the pandemic or whatever? Right. Why is this happening now? Soon as you do that, that's negative self-talk. That's self-curse talk, what I was talking about.
Right, right.
Opening up the door to the negative zone, and you're allowing more like thoughts to come into play. So you say, why is this happening to me? And all of a sudden, this is absolutely ridiculous. Everything I try to do never works. Everybody else has what I want. And now you're allowing all these thoughts to come in. That stuff is not conducive to being creative or productive. And those thoughts are causing you to believe negative about yourself. Those thoughts and beliefs are causing you to feel a certain way. Those feelings are creating a certain attitude. You don't have to be a genius to figure out that you're sabotaging your life. You're making a challenging situation worse than what it has to be. So my brother never said, why me? What he did say was, this is me. This is what happened. Why not me? This is what happened. I can't change that. This is my problem now. I own this. What do I have to do to turn this around? What can I do to live the life that I desire and I deserve? Who can I go to that can help me? What strategies need to be implemented for me to get the hell out of this hospital so I can move on with my life and do what needs to be done? You see, those type of words, think of the difference in that thought process and the words he was saying as compared to the one I just described. Those type of thoughts solidified a very empowering belief system. Those beliefs, those thoughts caused him to feel victorious, confident, optimistic. Those feelings enabled him to persevere with an unstoppable attitude to succeed regardless of his circumstances. And as a result, he became an incredible, incredible success story. And if he was here, he even sensed the importance of enjoying himself during the rebuilding process. And he challenged himself to find the laughter in between and even during the tough times, which is another thing that separated him from most people that weren't even half as severe as he was. And to make a long story short, he was in a hospital for 7 months. When he got out, he was 97 pounds, something like that. And he said he was going to go to college, but we didn't think he'd be able to do it. He wasn't Mr. Whiz Kid in high school. None of us were. But he did. He did go to college. He had to go at night to prove himself. He got straight A's. They said, okay, you can go full time. He graduated with degrees in administration, education, history, psychology. He went back to the same school that he graduated from. He became a history teacher. Then he became an attendance officer, then an assistant principal, then a principal. And when he wanted to leave, retire, they wouldn't let him. They made him superintendent of the entire school system. He's since been retired for 17 years now. He travels all over the world, and he's still cranking. He's still moving. I just got off the phone with him a couple of hours ago.
It's amazing where there's so many stories. Like you shared the Christopher Reeve story, which a lot of people are familiar with because of who he was. Just to go to show you the potential of the human being. And then you share the story of your brother, who, again, I did not know until obviously I met you. And again, to me, and this is why I love what I do with the show, The Profit Express, and I'm blessed to be able to talk to people like you, because without the show, I wouldn't be talking to people like you. And where we come in contact and we share stories like that with your brother, who, was an ordinary person.
Yep.
But what he did was extraordinary with what he was faced. And again, what a hugely powerful reminder of our potential.
Absolutely.
Man.
And we all have it. We all have it in us, Tim.
Yeah.
And for those of you who are listening and watching right now, if you say you don't, you're right. You don't. You just created your own reality. He's an everyday person, just like everyone else.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how that everyday person that you are can turn into a superhuman if you did give yourself the credit and at least take that couple of steps forward with a bit of optimism. And it all starts with what it is that you're grateful for. You know, what are the things that are enabling you to persevere? Are you going to focus what isn't working, or are you going to try and push yourself to focus on what is working, on your assets, on the things that can get you from here to here? rather than the things that are bringing you down over and over again. I'm not saying it's easy, but you have an opportunity and you have a choice to either become the victim or the victor. That's your choice and your responsibility. Always, always. It's always going to be your problem.
Always going to be your problem. I like it. Love it. Again, Steve, thank you for sharing your time. I've one more question for you.
Sure.
What has been the biggest lesson that you've learned that's helped propel you to where you are right now?
That truly successful, happy, optimistic people are not exempt from the trials and tribulations of life. In fact, some of the most happiest, most successful, optimistic people I know had to overcome incredible odds to get to where they are at this point in life. But they all have this uncanny way of riding the waves of change with equanimity. They know that they're going to go through their life. They just know that they're going to have good times and bad times, that they're going to have ecstatic moments and hardcore difficult times. But they all have this ability to shift their focus and way of thinking to a higher part of themselves that will enable them to learn from it and to bounce back and become empowered and wiser as a result. And we all have that ability to do that. I believe, and to top this question off that you asked, we are here on planet Earth to experience, to learn, to grow, and to become the person we're meant to become. In other words, how you choose to experience all of the things that happen to you in your life, the things that you label as good and bad, right or wrong, or fair or unfair, will determine what you learn. That continued learning leads to your continued growth. That growth paves the way to who and what you will become. Our job, our responsibility to ourselves, is to become the best person that we can possibly be in any given circumstance.
Do you think, looking at it now, you're saying to be the best person you're meant to be? Were you really meant to be more the motivational speaker, attitude adjuster than comedian? And that's how you ended up here?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a whole new thing I can get into, but I'm just learning this now. I'm learning now at the point where I am in my life. You know how you go through your life and say, why did this happen? Why did I quit stand-up? Why am I here?
Right.
And even the most horrific things that happen to you, there comes a point in your life where everything starts coming full circle and you realize how you needed that in your life in order for you to get where you are now. You would never have met this person if it wasn't for that. You never would have had this opportunity if it wasn't for that. You know, if you didn't get burned, if you didn't eat crow for a great part of your life, if I wasn't voted least likely to succeed in high school, if the guidance counselor didn't tell me I wasn't smart enough, I wouldn't be in this position to be able to really help people who are in similar situations that I'm in. So that's the gift. That's the blessing in disguise. You know, at one point I was cursing that crap in my life, but now it's a blessing because I learned from it. I moved forward as a result. I am empowered. And as a result of being empowered, I'm in this position where you're asking me to be on your show. And hopefully I made some kind of, I was a spark that can ignite some kind of change in people's lives.
Oh, I know that happened today. I know that. And I thank you for that, Steve.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Steve Rizzo, today's guest here on the Profit Express. Steve, people want to follow you, learn more about you. Where can they reach you?
Leave me alone. All right. That's all I'm saying. go to my website, steverizzo.com. On the homepage, sign up for my biweekly Rizzogram.
Love it.
Sign up. It's free. Every other week, you get an article or a video, how to get through the tough times. Go to my YouTube channel. There's a lot of stuff there. And pretty soon, I will be doing my own live streaming thing, my own podcast. And that's it. Everything there on the website.
Thank you. Steve, again, a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I love what you do, and you do it well.
Thank you, Steve.